who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition for June 10th, 2024.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Lynn, and Ken's my co-host, and we're both former Disneyland custodial cast members, and we're the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We are also authors of the books Cleaning the Kingdom. You can get both of our books. Yes, we have two books. You can get them both on Amazon, and you can get them on Kindle versions or electronic versions, wherever those are found. And we also have them on audio. So you get the audiobooks for both of them called Cleaning the Kingdom. And you can also get the second book, paperback, on our website, thesweepspot.com. And those are signed by both of us. But it's only the second one for now. We'll probably have the first ones in maybe sometime in August. Also, we have a Patreon. If you'd like to help support the show, we'd really appreciate it. And you get some cool perks. You can, for $5 or more per month, you can get one bonus episode delivered to you that we record specifically for the Patreons. And also, you get to join us for our current events live as we record that once a month. And we have a lot of fun doing that with the Patreons in the chat room. And you get to interact with one another. And also we use some of your comments in the recording as we record. So you can sign up at patreon.com and search The Sweep Spot, or you can go to thesweepspot.com and look for the Patreon link there. I also wanted to mention that we're going to be at the D23 Ultimate Fan Event. We'll be there in August. We'll be there. So if you don't know when it is, then you're not going, and I think they're sold out. But we will be there all 3 days. I believe it's the 9th, 10th, 11th of August. And we will be there. We don't know yet, but we're going to have it soon. Like the times will be at Laughing Places booth each day for 3 days. So we'll just be there certain hours, not all day. So if you wanted to come by, we will be there. Probably have some buttons or something to hand out, and we'll have our books for sale, of course, and we'll be hanging out there. So we'll give you more info as it gets closer. Also, I just wanted to mention real quick, there's a lot of good travel deals going on right now. So if you'd like to book a Disneyland package or, you know, there's ticket deals going on right now, promotions and hotel deals right now for Disneyland and Walt Disney World and Lonnie. There's, I think, pretty much all the different destinations have some sort of promotion or coming up soon they will. So you can contact me at lbaron@concierge.com. Anyways, I just wanted to mention that real quick because it is something going on currently. All right, Ken, are you ready for the current events?
I am ready.
Well, before we get into that, we have Eric over at Concierge bringing us the D180.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in! We begin our adventure this week sailing to Disney's Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, the newest destination for the Disney Cruise Line. This destination in the Bahamas is set to welcome its first visitors, and we're all pretty excited about it. Pink sand beaches, pineapple fields, and ocean-carved caverns abound in this natural wonder. Disney developed a series of tours to guide you around this scenic destination. Each tour covers the history and culture of the islands with a particular aim to educate about eco-tourism. The company is determined to protect the resources of this area. In addition to responsible sourcing of ingredients and building materials, Disney set aside a large portion of its land as a nature preserve to be left untouched. Lighthouse Point was one of Imagineer great Joe Rohde's last major projects before he retired. While he did not see this entire project through to its completion, his touch seems to be everywhere. Essentially, this destination is a cross between Disney's private island, Castaway Cay, and their Hawaiian resort, Aulani. Take time to relax in a private cabana or on one of those pink sand beaches. Explore the island via the nature trail or head under the sea with a snorkel or scuba tour. Splash around the water play area. Grab some grub at Serenity Bay Barbecue. In short, this place looks incredible. I can't wait to see how those first groups react. And hey, hold on to your cash a little bit longer with the Disney Cruise Line's latest promotion. For departures in late fall 2024 into early spring 2025, many cruises require just half the usual deposit. The Disney Wish, Dream, Wonder, and Magic all have dates open for this promo. Sure, you have to pay the full amount eventually, but it's kind of nice to hold on to your own money as long as you can. Let's stay abroad for a while, shall we? National Geographic Expeditions takes the shoreline adventures of Disney Cruise Line and turns your trip up to 11. Picture deep exploration over an extended period. With National Geographic Expeditions, you travel to distant locations to learn directly from experts actively working in their field. Check out the 11-day trip to Australia. Explore the Great Barrier Reef and then work your way into the country through lush rainforests and wildlife. Check out the 11-day trip to Australia. Explore the Great Barrier Reef and then work your way into the country through lush rainforests and wildlife sanctuaries. The trip ends up in Sydney for a little bit of that city life as well. Another new offering takes you to Portugal for hikes along rivers, walks through century-old cities, fantastic meals, and delicious local wines. Through each location, you can learn about the history of this ancient maritime region and its importance to regional trade and colonization. This trip lasts 10 days and takes you through a variety of locales. This trip visits ancient temples and ruins with a few stops at high-tech oceanographic study labs as well. All of the National Geographic expeditions take the high level of service of a Disney tour and add in elements of conservation and research. List of destinations changes every year, and every year I get more and more jealous of these incredible opportunities. Ask one of our concierge planners for their expert advice on your ideal location. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Concierge. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Concierge, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. Contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot@gmail.com. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, I've got a few things.
Yeah.
Well, by now, you know, if you don't know this, you've been living under a rock, because it was all over the mainstream news. And we have lost Disney legend Richard Sherman. Sorry, but I'm going to get the sad story out of the way right away. I mean, he wasn't young, but it's still sad to lose him. I still remember when I saw the news. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the Orange County Register carried a story from City News Service, and it was with the headline, Disney songwriting legend Richard Sherman dies at 95. And as they said, Richard Sherman, the prolific composer-lyricist who with his late brother, Robert, penned some of Disney's most memorable songs, including Chim Chim Cheree and Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from the 1964 classic Mary Poppins, died Saturday at the age of 95. Now, this would have been, Saturday the 25th, I believe, of May. The Burbank-based entertainment giant announced. It's so associated with Disney, of course, that Disney releases the announcement, even though they did work for other places, as the article notes. Right. Sherman died at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center due to age-related illness, Disney said. Sherman was born in New York City, but moved to Beverly Hills with his family in 1937, where he later attended Beverly Hills High School. He majored in music at Bard College and later served as conductor for the U.S. Army Band and Glee Club. So, see, Gene Autry was the first to record a Sherman Brothers song with 1951's Gold Can Buy You Anything But Love. And the sibling songwriters got another big break several years later when Annette Funicello recorded their song, Tall Paul. That tune, which peaked at number 7 on the charts, caught the attention of Walt Disney, who hired the Sherman Brothers as staff songwriters for the Walt Disney Studios. So, yeah. Wow. I could just, you know, I don't think he was doing the show back then, but I could just imagine Casey Kasem, just, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we're up to number 7. It's a song from a songwriting duo, the Sherman Brothers. Now, anyway, yeah. They would ultimately write more than 200 songs for some 27 films and 24 television productions. They also contributed music for a number of theme park attractions around the world, including There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, that was for Carousel Progress, the Tiki 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 Room, or what, you know, maybe, I don't know if I'm getting the right number of tikis in there, and It's a Small World. Richard once described the latter tune as a prayer for peace. Well, he didn't describe that once. He described that many times, and he should have, because it was important to remind people. You know, people think of it as, oh, it's just a theme park song, and it's annoying and repetitive. You know, well, if you really think about it, it's a prayer for peace, you know. So the brothers returned in their early 1980s to write songs for Disney's Epcot Center in Orlando and Tokyo Disneyland, including One Little Spark, which was for the Journey into Imagination Pavilion, and Meet the World. So that was for Japan. Beyond their work with Disney, the Sherman Brothers provided music, songs, and occasional screenplays to such memorable family films as Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is the one that everyone might think is a Disney film, but it's not officially. There's Snoopy Come Home from 1972, Charlotte's Web in 1973. That's one that hits hard for a lot of people our ages. The Adventures of Tom Sawyer in 1973 and Huckleberry Finn in 1974. Wow. Richard is survived by his wife of 66 years, Elizabeth. son Gregory and grandsons William and Matthew, daughter Victoria Wolf, son-in-law Doug Wolf, and grandchildren Mandy and Anthony. He is also survived by his daughter from a previous marriage, Linda Rothstein, as well as her two children and three grandchildren. So, yeah, Lynn.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's another, you know, I always think about another person that has, that we've lost, that has stories, you know, they worked directly with Walt Disney and had stories, and, you know, eventually there won't be anyone that, you know, directly worked with Walt around anymore. But I will say this, because of podcasts and YouTube and, you know, all the technology nowadays, we do have a lot of these interviews and, you know, that we can listen to and go back and hear all these stories and about, you know, them working with Walt.
Right. And I was fortunate to meet him multiple times. Now, you met him too, didn't you?
One time, yeah. When I was a cast member for the both of the brothers, yeah, were there, and they performed for the cast members. They had their books for sale, and Bruce Gordon was there too. I got to meet Bruce and signed my book, and yeah.
Yeah, that was a great event. We write about it in our book, mm-hmm. and that was a real privilege.
Yeah,
and
I didn't realize it at the time. I mean, obviously, I thought it was great, but I did. I don't know. I just took it for granted, you know. Just, oh, this is nice, and you know, now I look back at it, especially now, like, wow, you know, that was really special.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things. It really sticks out in my mind. I met him multiple times. Other than that, well, you know, obviously he outlived his brother, so I had more opportunities. There was one time he was walking with his wife, who was delightful. They were basically walking Thunder Alley. They were, you know, walking southbound from the Golden Horseshoe area. Mm-hmm. And I think I was working, but yeah, I must have been working. And basically, it was just the two of them. There was no entourage. Nobody else was with them. No plaid, nothing like that. And he came to, you know, he stopped and we talked, you know, because I said hello and everything. And he goes, and he asked, you know, where should we eat? And I'm thinking, my goodness, they should have, like, you know, a table set aside for him at, like, Club 33 or something. I mean, what, yeah. You know, this guy here, I mean, you know, you heard that. It's a small world and Tiki Room and, my goodness, how can this guy not, you know?
Yeah, what is he going to go do? Eat a stage door cafe?
They should have, like, a private area for him.
Yeah.
You know? So that was nice. He did a, another memory was there was a party at Kevin and Jody's. They have a historic house in Anaheim. And there was a party there. I'm going to sound like a broken record, but it was a party celebrating Tony Baxter. And so, but it was a surprise for Tony Baxter, right? So his sister's getting him over there under the pretense of something else. And he comes out the back door to the backyard because Kevin and Jody's workshop is at the back of the backyard. Mm-hmm. So they were probably like, hey, we're going to show you something in the workshop. And we come out there, and then all these people are in the backyard, and they start singing for He's a Jolly Good Fella, you know. But Richard Sherman led it. He was like, Richard Sherman was up on the back porch going, okay, here he comes, you know. And we capped off that evening. We went out to the front porch, mm-hmm. and I guess Richard's favorite song is On the Front Porch.
Oh, yeah.
From, I think, Summer Magic or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we sang that out there.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm just thinking, this is, you know, I said, I'm never going to forget this. You know, this is absolutely incredible. And then, you know, and I was able, I told him the story twice, and that was one of the evenings I did it. I did the, one of the two times I did it, of how he saved my wife's life when she was a little girl from one of his songs. And, you know, and that really touched him. And met him at Tony's Window dedication, you know, again. So, I mean, just a bunch of times, just, you know. So I knew, and I at least I had my wits about me to know that it is a privilege to be able to meet this guy and his brother, you know, when meeting his brother, when we did, you know, I at least did not take it for granted. And I knew, you know, wow, this is something I'm going to be able to tell, you know, my kids about, my grandkids, you know, I mean,
I think one of the things about that event that they had for the cast members, it was in the TDA, they have like a little auditorium there, but I didn't know anything really about the Sherman Brothers too much at all, really, I guess. And I mean, I knew the songs, but the thing that really struck me that day was how many songs I recognized and had no idea that they wrote them. And I tell people today, you know, I mentioned to a few people that, you know, when he had passed away, Richard Sherman, was that almost 2 weeks now? I remember telling a few people, oh, really, who's that? You know, and so I kind of explain, oh, well, they did this, they wrote this song, and this just goes on and on and on. And just so many recognizable songs that were part of our childhood, adulthood, you know, just our lives. And It's a Small World is something that will be playing 24/7, you know, because of all the different parks in the world. And I don't know, just a great man, great brothers, you know, they wrote so many great songs. The book is Waltz Time. And I really enjoy that book. I think you can still find it out there, but it's a very well done book. If you know Disneyland, the Nickel Tour, and how that's laid out and how beautiful that book is, then you'll really appreciate this one. Same people, right? That Bruce Gordon also wrote.
Well, Bruce Gordon and Dave Mumford. Dave Mumford, yeah. I think Jeff Curdy was involved in that book too.
Yeah. Well, we can go on, and we probably should do a show someday about the Sherman Brothers, you know.
Yeah, we could do a show about their contributions to Disneyland and then just Disney parks in general. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely an upcoming topic.
All right, well, we're going to kind of change.
So we got the sad news out of the way.
Yeah. We're going to kind of move on here. But he lived a full, I will say that, and you said this in the beginning, he lived a full life. I think any of us would be blessed and happy to have lived to 95. That's a well.
He knew how beloved he was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we were able to show him our appreciation.
Yes, for sure. All right. Well, we're going to move on here and to the next story. And it is from the OC Register from Brady McDonald. And it's titled Old School Fantasmic Returns to Disneyland with Massive Crowds. Fantasmic returned to the Rivers of America at the Anaheim theme park on Friday, May 24th, after a year-long hiatus caused by Towering Inferno that engulfed the show's signature fire-breathing audio animatronic dragon in April 2023. The not-so-new scenes in the returning show included Peter Pan, Captain Hook, and a band of scurvy pirates on the sailing ship Columbia, last seen in 2017, and a 35-foot-tall Maleficent on a cleverly disguised scissor lift not seen on a regular basis since 2009. The What's Old is New Again version of Fantasmic was like seeing an old friend for the first time in more than a year for many in the crowd Friday night. For them, it was equal parts familiar, comfortable, and easy. Traffic was backed up on Ball Road at 7 p.m. as annual pass holders, Magic Key holders, streamed in for the show only to find Disneyland directing traffic to the Toy Story parking lot because the Mickey and Friends Pixar Pals garages were filling up quickly to capacity. Disneyland cast members in front of Riverbell Terrace were telling guests at 8 p.m. that viewing areas were full and to come back for the later show or on another day. I remember I was there the night, I was not in the park, but I was staying at the Howard Johnson across the street the night they had that. And I remember going in the park the next morning and they were still covering up, like kind of trying to just, you know, cover up the remains of the dragon. But
why did you do that?
I don't know, you know. So, yeah, Fantasmic is back in all its glory, and that's good. It's good to have the nighttime shows back, especially in Disneyland, where it's been absent for more than a year now. I have, you know, yeah, I remember the Peter Pan and the Hook. That was probably one of my favorite scenes in the Fantasmic, was because of that. And the Pirates one they added was still good too, but I think a lot of people just like the nostalgia of the, you know, the Peter Pan one.
It's good that they have the Columbia, they could use it to adapt for that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah. That's convenient, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's back to running nightly, what, 9 to 9 and 10:30. It's always been that way for years when we used to have to clean up the messes night after night, twice a night. Yeah.
Yeah, on busier nights they would do a third show, but they quickly learn you do the show at like 11:40.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then it ends just after midnight. And so you close the park off, and you know, if you did the show at 11:30, you get this massive wave of people who just watched Fantasmic who are heading to get one more ride in, you know, on Pirates, on Splash, on Haunted Mansion, you know, Big Thunder, whatever.
Right.
So yeah, you do it at 11:40, and then that way when it ends, the park's closed. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've only had to work a handful of, maybe even three times, the third show. They didn't do it too often, probably more in the earlier days when you were there. But by the time I started working there in 98, it was kind of a rarity, but it did happen, I think, probably three or four times. But yeah, well, it's back.
Yeah. Yay. But not without, some apparently newsworthy happenings. From Brittany McDonald, a story from June 6th. Disneyland uses speedboat to fix Fantasmic and save the show. So that's from the Orange County Register. Oh, and of course, by the way, we will have all of these posted up at the current events portion of our website. So if you want to go there and click through, you'll be able to do that. But here you go. Disneyland maintenance crew raced to the rescue to save Fantasmic with the help of a speedboat that kicked up a powerful wake, all in hopes of dislodging debris from an underwater track that threatened to cancel the nighttime spectacular. Hope it wasn't a pan. Disneyland visitors waited to watch. Oh, they use plastic pans now. It probably wouldn't work. Disneyland visitors waiting to watch Fantasmic were treated to an unanticipated stunt show when the Anaheim theme park's maintenance crew raced a flat bottom skiff. Sorry, I'm thinking of Queen now. It's a flat bottom skiff. Okay. There's an L in there. Skiff boat along the rivers of America. The man-made waterway, usually used for leisurely cruises on riverboats, is the man-made water. Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm not used to this hyphen in here. The man-made waterway is usually used for leisurely cruises on riverboats and pirate ships. Mm-hmm. The wake from the 20-foot skiff boat with a powerful outboard motor, was unable to loosen the debris from the underwater track that guides the sailing ship Columbia and the Mark Twain riverboat. Dude, spoilers.
Wow.
What are you talking about, underwater track, kids?
Come on.
Pay no attention to those last 10 seconds there. key components in Fantasmic. Except when they don't use the Mark Twain and they do the other stuff. But yeah, I think the guys just want to take the boat out.
But, probably.
The surprising spectacle was captured on video and posted on social media before the scheduled Fantasmic shows on Monday, June 3rd. That sentence can be used over and over and over again in stories, or part of that phrase, captured on video and posted to social media.
Right, you know, right.
That's why some of these stories exist, because there was somebody there, you know. Anyway, a Disneyland diver was eventually able to unclog the underwater track and save one of the two shows for the thousands of anxious viewers lining the rivers of America. Yeah, you know, got a last minute solutions to make the show go on. I mean, they lost one show, but they decided, oh, we're gonna get it going. Well, that must have been quite a mess, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, we went down from two shows to one, you know. Yeah,
after being down for a year, almost more than a year.
Yeah,
it happens.
All right,
well, that sounds good. Let's move on to this next story. This is from the OC Register, Brady McDonald. Disneyland closes Club Pixar stage show 2 months early. A nighttime dance party that Disneyland fans hoped would be a cocktail-infused rave, but turned out to be more of a kids-centric crowd participation show, has closed 2 months early after a brief run during Pixar Fest.
Wow.
The club Pixar disc jockeys and dancers will no longer be presented during Pixar Fest after evaluating guest feedback and operational considerations, according to Disneyland officials. Club Pixar dancers were notified that the Sunday, June 2nd show in the Hollywood Land backlot at Disney California Adventure would be their final performance. Yeah. The Club Pixar live show debuted on April 26th as part of Pixar Fest and was scheduled to run through the end of the seasonal event on August 4th. Disneyland promised the Club Pixar dance party would feature DJ music, live shows, and Pixar-themed games, food and drinks, leading fans to anticipate something like the Mad Tea Party and Electronica dance parties that have filled DCA's Hollywood backlot in the past. Instead, Pixar Fest attendees were treated to something closer to the Disney Junior Dance Party, aimed at a grade school audience with watch and learn country line dancing. Oh no, that's not question mark. That caught me off guard. Line dancing lessons themed to Woody and Jesse from Toy Story.
Wow.
The Pixar Fest Food Festival has
that's hard to say. The Pixar Fest Food Festival.
Yeah. There's a lot of festivals in there. Okay. Has suffered from a similar problem with kid-centric food that doesn't appeal to an adult crowd. Disneyland has not yet announced what, if anything, will replace the Club Pixar live show throughout the remaining run of Pixar Fest.
Imagine catering to children at a place like Disneyland.
How dare they?
Ridiculous.
Well, this isn't this the stage that's over there across from Monsters, Inc. area there?
I think so.
It's probably not the busiest part of the park. It's kind of hidden. I mean, that's one thought I have. But
as the article points out, you had these other things that were there before, and I think that's what people kind of get used to.
Yeah.
They think, oh, this is going to be... You know, it's kind of like the venue becomes known for certain stuff. You know, they I mean, I can remember, geez, they did this. Now I'm really dating myself here. In 1990, they did a Dick Tracy show.
Oh, yeah.
At what was the, you know, the, it's called Fantasyland Theater now. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, but they did a Dick Tracy show there because Dick Tracy was the big movie they were pushing and all that stuff. And they had, you know, this a serious casting call for, you know, performers and all that kind of stuff. It's a musical show, all that stuff, and kind of geared towards, you know, everybody, but more for, I mean, adults might appreciate it a little bit more. And then, like, you know, what do they do next or soon after was Afternoon Avenue, and they had a little show called Playing Crazy, which was clearly geared towards kids and a much less ambitious show. And it's kind of like, you know, when you train people that you have this, you know, show kind, you know, show A at this venue, and, you know, all the shows are like show A, and then, you know, you come up with something else and you do it there that's different. It's like, oh, well, this is different, you know.
Yeah,
this isn't what we were expecting, but it's Pixar Fest. I mean, what are you expecting with Pixar Fest anyway?
Yeah, it's, I mean, you mentioned the other two things they had back there. That was a Mad Tea Party Electronica. Those are both dance parties that were aimed at adults. You know, they had specialty drinks, and it was, you know, electronica more like a rave kind of atmosphere. Not that I know what that is, but what I could imagine that would be. In the Mad Tea Party, I experienced that once, and it, you know, it was a band, a cover band that played, you know, they played Alice in Wonderland cover tunes. No, they played like rock, just, you know, classic rock, modern rock, whatever. So it was totally a different audience, and those happened at night. They weren't during the day, as far as I remember. So yeah, totally different. I mean, they said the Junior Disney's Junior Playhouse or whatever it was called. Yeah, I don't know why they just didn't have that version in there instead, because that stage is typically only used for like middle school, high school bands come and perform, you know, or like choir or something nowadays. So, you know, like what they used to have at Carnation. I don't know if they still do, but I know they were doing that on that stage. So I don't know, you know, it doesn't surprise me. It's not like, oh man, it's too bad, but unfortunate for the performers, obviously, but I'm sure they can find other places to do their thing. But
I sure hope so.
Yeah, another thought I had here, and I don't know if you have the story here. I don't want to re-say anything here. I don't think you do. But did you mention anything about the... Oh, now I can't remember it. The Marvel show they had over there in Avengers Campus. I can't think of the...
Oh, Doctor Strange. I don't have an article on that. No.
Oh, it's fine, though, because the Doctor Strange show they had over there, they're still going to have, at least, I think, for a few more weeks. But... That was announced too around, I think, around the same time or just after. It made me think, because not long ago, and I think they're still working on it, didn't a lot of the characters and things want to unionize?
We've done stories on that recently.
Yeah.
And there was another one in the last 2 weeks that basically said Disney's going to work with them. And it's like, well, of course they're going to work with them. You know, so that's why I didn't include it, because it's like, you know, but so you think that might have something to do with it, or
I don't know. I'm just wondering. That was the first thing I thought of when I was listening to another podcast. Yeah, I listened
like
to a podcast.
Retaliation or something.
I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, heard people say you're going to unionize. Oh yeah, well then, you know. So,
I mean, I have remembered in past years, sometimes you start facing the summer, and then all of a sudden it's like maybe the forecasts are down for that. It's not going to be as crowded as they hoped. And so they go, well, what's the easiest thing for us to cut back on? Entertainment.
Entertainment, yeah.
You know.
That's too bad because, like, in New Orleans, there used to be music around every corner. You know,
yeah.
There's a guitar player or... I like that one band. What was the band that... We're getting way off subject, but that one band that played over there and they had the tuba and they had the... It's like a full band, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways... Yeah, there used to be a lot more entertainment at Disneyland, I feel, and they've cut back on that, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Because Disneyland was always known, and still is, known for the quality players that would come and play there, and they still are for the ones that are still there, but, you know, it's just...
It's yeah, it really adds to the experience, and then it's like, if you don't... no, it's not a ride, but it's an experience, and so... You know, it's like sneaking in another experience of your total day there. Oh, I had fun, you know, listening to this band and interacting, you know, kids were dancing to it or whatever. I mean, you know, that's a good thing to have. But yeah, I understand if they're trying to cut back, they're like, what's the easiest thing to save money on? You know, and it's like, oh, just cancel shows, you know.
Yeah, I guess. But so, yeah, so the Doctor Strange show, that one... That whole area where it takes place was pretty much built for that show. I mean, there's special effects and things that happen that interact with that show. I know they could change it for something else, but it was originally built for that specific reason, and so now they're just getting rid of it. So
yeah.
Who knows if it'll just be like a character meet and greet area or what? But yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to see what they do.
I just felt like, and again, we're getting off topic here, but not off topic because we're talking about Disneyland, but off subject. But the there's not a ton to do in Avengers Campus. And
not yet anyway, yeah.
A little let down for me, I feel like it's been a little let down. So to get rid of more, you know, when they didn't already have a lot.
Well, Avengers, I mean, you're talking about... Think about how much money Marvel has made for Disney. You would think that there would be, you know, it's like they would be adding to Avengers Campus like great, you know, to have a physical place that people can go to, whether they're casual, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I saw the Avengers movie, blah, blah, blah. Or if they're really... really strong Marvel fans, you know, enthusiasts. You would think you'd want them to have like some place to go to that's going to be just, oh my gosh, this is a dream come true, you know. And that they could, they really need to get started on another e-ticket over there or whatever, you know. It's
I don't know, and maybe we'll hear something at D23, I hope.
Yeah,
not just here, but I hope we see models and think like actual progress. So,
I mean, I wonder if it kind of shy now after the Star Wars cruiser thing. But you would think, like, you know, what if they built something over there that included like a dream suite or something? Maybe it's just a few rooms that, you know, I'm sure there's people who would love to pay big money to stay in a Marvel room.
Yeah,
you know, so
I don't know what that would look like. I mean, I guess different, you know, different characters would have different theming. I just think that sometimes I think they don't they need to take chances sometimes. I don't know, I know it, things cost a lot of money and it's like a lot of commitment and everything, but sometimes I think some of the best things happen when they didn't realize it was gonna happen, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, just my observation, but anyhow, all right, well, that's that.
Okay, well, let's move on to, you know, I guess nothing at all happening elsewhere. Okay, well, we all know that what's happening at Walt Disney World is heading over to Disneyland. The Orange County Register, Brittany McDonald, had a story, of course, who didn't, See full ride-through video of Tiana's Bayou Adventure coming to Disneyland. And of course, the ride-through video is from Florida, from Walt Disney World, their Magic Kingdom, because theirs is opening first. And so Disney posted a ride-through video first. Let's see what it says here. Walt Disney World released a point-of-view ride-through video of the complete Tiana's Bayou Adventure ride officially opening at the Magic Kingdom on June 28th. And in late 2024 at Disneyland in the former Splash Mountain attraction at both parks. The ride has opened for previews at the Florida theme park. The twin Tiana Bayou Adventure rides will tell an extension of the Princess and the Frog story that picks up after the final kiss between Princess Tiana and Prince Naveen. The new backstory for Splash Mountain, well, it's not Splash Mountain, though. That's the thing. The new backstory for Splash Mountain will follow Tiana and Louise, the trumpet-playing alligator, as they prepare for their first Mardi Gras performance. And so, you know, I'm avoiding spoilers other than what I've already said, in case you didn't want to hear them yet. But what is it? It says here, what follows is a scene-by-scene description of the new log flume ride. Consider this your spoiler alert. So if you want to go to the register, you can get a description, or, you know, you can watch the videos and see for yourself. Watching the videos isn't the same thing as riding, you know. But if you're not going to do it at the register, MiceChat.com has it. They have Tiana's Bayou Adventure point of view ride video and everything you need to know. And that's from MiceChat staff. So, yeah. Have you seen it, Lynn?
I have. I don't know. I guess I have to see it for myself. Like you were saying, it's different, yeah, it's on different video.
You experience it in person. It's going to be different than
It wasn't. I mean, there's some videos you see, like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Shanghai, and you go, "Whoa, that's amazing!" And then you hear it's even better and live, you know. So this wasn't something I said that, but we'll just have to see. There was some good parts to it that I enjoyed, and there were some parts I thought, I wonder if that's better in person, you know. And then there were some parts that I thought, "What's going on here? It's dark." You know? So I don't know. We'll see, you know, how it is.
Well, yeah. We were just talking about following in the same venue when you, and so you're inevitably going to draw comparisons between, well, how did Splash Mountain make me feel? And now there's Tiana's, but you know, so there, you're going to have that comparison, and some people are going to prefer Tiana's. I mean, not for any thematic reason, but just how it's executed. And I mean, you're going to find a wide range of opinions. There's people who just hate change at all. You know, I mean, if it was up to them, you would still have the Hall of Chemistry at Disneyland. You know, the Hall of Aluminum Fame.
Bathroom of Tomorrow. Yeah.
The Bathroom of Tomorrow. The Hall of Aluminum Fame with the Kaiser Aluminum Pig. And the knee-jerk reaction is, oh, down with change. You know, no change, no change, no change. That's a small but vocal group for anything that happens at the parks, you know. But then you're going to have people who are going to hate it because they like Splash Mountain and they're just not going to admit to liking, you know, and maybe they admit legitimately they don't like, maybe they don't like what they've seen, you know, legitimately. But you do have a bunch of people who are just not going to, you know, because of they're upset about Splash Mountain being gone. And, you know, you're going to have people who have legitimate, every attraction can have legitimate criticism. You know, this could have been better. That could have been better. You know, I mean, the original Twilight Zone Tower of Terror is one of my favorites, but of course the fifth dimension scene could be better. You know, I think it ends spectacularly with I love that effect of the single point of light that expands and opens up and all that. I mean, that's awesome effect. But you know, every attraction can have, I mean, for goodness sakes, Rise of the Resistance has plenty of criticism, and not just about how it's operating, but you know, there's always criticism.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how good something is, how popular it is, but I guess, and you probably agree, the reason for something to change needs to be a good reason, right? Like, and a lot of times
you've got something that's definitively better to replace it with.
Or sometimes Disney changes something because it lost popularity, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think, and maybe it definitely wasn't as popular, you know, when it was open, 2 years ago than it was, 20 years ago, but
yeah,
or 30. But I don't know. I didn't feel like it wasn't popular, but we don't need to go on why they changed it. But I think that in history, that Disney would usually change something because of lack of attendance to that attraction. Like Country Bear Jamboree closed mostly because they said that the attendance wasn't, you know, was dying out, you know?
I heard an idea, and I wonder, someone posted this on a discussion on Facebook, and I'm not using his name because I don't have permission. I didn't ask him, but it was one of the best ideas I had seen so far. I said, he said they should have made Tiana the hostess and narrator of Splash Mountain. And because these were stories that were passed down. These were folk tales or folklore that were passed down for generations. And so she could be doing the same thing and telling, you know, kids or restaurant customers or something. And that way you could have had her at the start and the end of the attraction, and then you could have had her voice throughout. Mm-hmm. You know, they deliberately avoided using live action characters from Song of the South.
Right.
Because that was, you know, when they did all their what they thought was their due diligence back in the 1980s, it's like, what shouldn't be used from the movie? And the answer was, don't use the live action characters, and don't use the Tar Baby story. The animated characters are fine. Use those. And just think, they could have made it Tiana's, you know, they could have done that. They could have added her restaurant, you know, I don't know. I mean, just that was, I wonder if that idea was considered. Probably not. You know, having Tiana, I mean, part of the, I guess we could do a whole show on this when it opens up in Disneyland, you know, analyzing it and stuff like that. Part of the criticism, you know, well, there should have been the villain from the movie, and that's who, you know, he could have been what replaced the laughing place in the attraction. And of course, the people say, well, he's dead. You know, well, sure. If you set, first of all, you know, yes, if you set the attraction after the movie, he's dead. But even if you did that, you could still, you know, what always happens with villains in horror movies, they come back, you know, again and again and again. I mean, there's just,
I don't know. Darth Vader's in Star Tours and he's dead. You know,
that's
dead.
True. That's,
I don't know.
that so yes. Well, there's also some talk that, you know, that character was problematic, that, you know, the villain character is problematic, so he shouldn't be included. So yeah, I mean, it's, I understand everybody has their own idea. Everybody's an armchair quarterback. Everyone's an armchair imagineer. You know, we've talked before, they could have changed Splash Mountain to Pocahontas. They could have added the Country Bears to it. They could have probably, the quote unquote easiest thing to do would have been to do a new series of animated shorts featuring the characters and completely severed them from, you know, the movie, because you would have had a new set of stories that are told with sensitivity and positivity and whatnot, and, you know, stuff like that, where you don't, where hopefully you're making a positive contribution. that, you know, that way you wouldn't have to physically change your traction at all, because that gets more expensive to, you know. But anyway,
I think they were just trying to stay clear of the whole thing. And
there's plenty of analysis that is already taking place and will take place, and we'll see how the Disneyland version turns out. The Walt Disney World version, most of it moves more slowly than the Disneyland version.
Do you think that if it was a dark ride or maybe some other type of ride, you know, even a boat ride, but didn't replace something else, that it would be probably received better than, because everyone likes the original, you know what I mean? Like there's remakes of movies and songs and all this stuff. And most of the time, the original to me is the better version. You know, sometimes there's better versions of a something that's redone, but
are you talking about the movie, the Tiana movie, or are you
no the ride? Talking about
Splash Mountain.
Yeah, so Splash Mountain's the original, okay. and so that's what I was thinking. That, like, everyone's always going to remember and like the, but then again, 20 years from now, you're going to have kids that said, "Oh, I remember that ride when I was a little kid." Tiana's,
they're going to grow memories with Tiana's, and it's like the classic story of. That I'm sure I've told it many times on the podcast before, the Carousel Progress, when it first went to Walt Disney, first got moved to Walt Disney World, they changed the song from "It's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow" to "Now is the Best Time." Now is the best, you know, now is the time, now is the best time. And when they decided, hey, we're going to restore Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow to it, there were a lot of people complaining, why did you remove the quote unquote original song and replace it? And, you know, because they had grown up with "Now is the time." Now, so it's a matter of perspective, and you're absolutely right, Lynn. There's going to be a bunch of kids who had never ridden Splash Mountain. They're going to ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and that's going to be their memory. And they're not going to have any, you know, it's going to be like one of those to them. It's going to be like trivia. Like, did you know this used to be, you know, a different attraction? It's like, what, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What's that? You know. So yeah.
Let me show you a video. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was better than no. I don't know.
There's still people ticked off about Thunder Mountain. You know, they're ticked off that it replaced Mine Train through Nature's Wonderland. You know.
Oh yeah.
Rainbow Caverns Mine Train. So.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. You know. Someday we'll have to do a story on what should never be removed, but what that story, we'll have to do an episode on what should never be removed, but yeah.
Or yeah. The untouchables, like what attractions are untouchable, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing. We're finding out.
Yeah. Well, as Kevin Lively said, why is that still here? You know?
All right.
Well, basically the bottom line here is, you can go, if you live close by to Walt Disney World, you can see it for yourself. If you don't live close by, call up Lynn, you know, email Lynn, book a trip to Walt Disney World, you can go see it. Or you can wait to book a trip to Disneyland, you know, either way, you can see it for yourself, or you can watch the online videos, which, you know, you know, it's better if you actually go there and you book your trip through Lynn. So, oh, yeah. But or you can watch the videos. You can get people's opinions. There's people with positive reactions. There's people with negative reactions. You know, it's just, I think time will be a better a judge of how it goes. So
and don't believe everything you read on the internet. There was someone, and I don't know how truthful this is, but someone said Bob Iger is disappointed with the attraction, and I thought, I don't know. I mean, how it's, you know, did someone just make that up just to throw his name in there and say that?
I remember, and I don't know, maybe this has been confirmed somewhere, but I can't read every good book that's out there. I remember the stories of when Fantasmic was debuting at, you know, before it opened, they did a run of the show for Michael Eisner, who was CEO of the park at the time, or the company, not just the park. He was the CEO of the entire Walt Disney Company.
Yeah.
And he watched the show, and this is what I heard happen, that he said, wow, there's some things I really don't like. How about we go over to the island and I can see where all the money went?
Oh.
You know, because he was expecting something different, because, you know, it wasn't really an Imagineering thing at the time. It was entertainment, you know, and,
right.
you know, it was using stock, I mean, you know, recycled animation and, you know, and it's a nighttime show. It's using the cover of darkness for some theatrical tricks, you know, and stuff like that. So, but yeah, so who knows? I mean, maybe Bob Iger did say that. I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time something got refined. You know, Alien Encounter opened up at Walt Disney World, and then, you know, for soft openings, and then it was a big to-do that they closed it down and changed it up a little bit. They put Tim Curry in there to replace Phil Hartman and the pre-show. And of course, the probably one of the big ones was when they took Figment, you know, when they first changed Journey into Imagination at Epcot Center. And after a couple of years, they're like, whoops, you know, we need to have Figment back in here big time. So they brought him back. But yeah, so who knows? Maybe, you know, if Bob Iger truly doesn't think much of it, he'll probably have suggestions on how to punch it up. And is he going to be willing to pay for that, you know? So,
yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see. I think the one thing that always bothers me is when they they put a ride in a location that was not built for that, you know, like I know that a lot of people like Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout better than Tower of Terror.
Yes.
Because I've heard good things about that, but I have not been on it. I've been on Tower of Terror. I've not been on Guardians of the Galaxy, but I just get a headache really bad now when I go on those kind of rides. But so I've heard really good things about it, but you know, it's just, where was I going with this?
Well, replacing.
Oh yeah. You know, yeah.
Something that was to,
right.
Yeah.
So when I saw a video of the, like where the hotel lobby was, but now it's something else. I thought, you know what? That's supposed to be the hotel lobby. Like I can't unsee that.
That's what you got. That's where you were used to. Yeah.
Right. And I don't know. It just was not built for that. And I don't like that, but
you have to, yeah, you kind of have to think of it. What if this was the first time I was here experiencing this?
Right.
Would it bother me? You know, mm-hmm. Of course it's not, I mean, your experiences are valid too. It's not just the first time visitor whose experiences are valid. I mean, your experiences are around too. And I think a really good example of an adaptation, mm-hmm. when they decided they were going to move Carousel of Progress to Walt Disney World, and right. they said, well, you know, what are we going to replace it with at Disneyland? Then they, you know, Mark Davis and all the other people that worked with him on it, you know, America Sings. I loved mm-hmm. America Sings. Mm-hmm. Of course, I hadn't ever experienced a Carousel of Progress. The first, you know, I had never experienced Carousel of Progress until after America Sings closed. Because it was after America Sings closed, I had my first trip to Walt Disney World, yeah, so I could go experience here. Carousel yeah. of Progress. But I loved America Sings, and I think that it that might be one of the reasons that I became so interested in Splash Mountain. It was because I knew that, you know, the figures and some of the other things were going to be repurposed into Splash Mountain. So they were saving those things. They weren't just discarding them. So, yeah.
I wonder where they're going to end up. You know what? You know where they're going to end up? Well, someone's going to end up buying them, putting them in their living room or something. But we might see them. Maybe we'll see them at D23 again.
Maybe oh, my be gosh.
Display there. You know,
yeah.
Ken will be crying over in the corner.
Yeah.
this belongs in.
Oh my god!
This
gosh.
Belongs in Splash Mountain.
It belongs in a museum.
So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some of those figures there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that they replaced. I don't know if they reused any of. I haven't heard if they reused any of the animatronics. I'm sure they may have used some of the background.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's seen the new ones. So.
Well, the old, I mean, come on. How old were the ones? I mean, the young, unless you're talking about ones that were entirely replaced since they were first installed, the animatronics at Walt Disney World were from what, like 92?
Yeah.
The ones at Disneyland were, you know, some of those went all the way back to the early 70s.
Yeah, that's not that long ago.
I mean, I'm from the early 70s.
Yeah.
You know, I need parts replaced.
Yeah, that's true. We do. And I don't know. I'm just curious if maybe they, you know, refurbished some and kept them. But I guess, I don't know, if they didn't need to.
Well, but, technology changes, parts change, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, this can go on forever. This won't be the last time we talk about it. As the word gets out of Disneyland, starting to do previews and cast previews and all that. Maybe they'll do Magic Key previews. I mean, don't know.
Who knows? Maybe Disneyland will benefit. I mean, I know it's not a lot of time left.
Yeah.
But there's a possibility that Disneyland could benefit. You know, it's like, wait a minute. We didn't do... You know, we could still change this in the Disneyland version. Let's do that.
Right. Add this.
You know, so it's kind of like the reverse of what happened originally. They, you know, Disneyland got Splash Mountain first, and then 3 years later they opened it at Walt Disney World. So they were able to think, okay, what should we do differently?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Well, I hope Tokyo never gets rid of theirs, and you can always go see Splash Mountain over there.
I would like it if all, you know, the parks had different things. Not, you know, they, like I said, what if they had done like Country Bears, the Disneyland one, or something? I don't know.
Or Pocahontas or something.
Or J. Wood, Lore, and Humphrey. And,
right.
You know,
right. Anyway. You never know. Jungle Cruise. movie. The Rock. The Rock could be in Splash Mountain.
But one more thought before we move on from this. Something that I came up in an online discussion, because somebody said, well, what if Tiana has a villain that's only there for the Halloween season?
Ooh.
And I thought, you know what? That's a really good question, because it could be, you know, now that the parks are moving in a direction where you're going to have this expanded Halloween season every year, mm-hmm. and of course you have the long winter season where you're doing these overlays, maybe instead of leaving it up to you know, decorating and entertainment and all those people, maybe you can build the attractions with that in mind for an overlay or a change or whatever. So that would be a great surprise if they had something where it's like, oh, you know, he's in there for Halloween, you know.
Well, they better hurry. Halloween starts next week.
Yeah. Just about, right?
Right. Red nights are over. It's Halloween season. What happened to 4th of July?
Yeah. It's right there between the 3rd and the 5th of July.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Okay, well, I think I left the next story to you.
Yeah, we laugh, but it's kind of true. Where is this? Okay. The next story is from Luke Manning at laughingplace.com, titled New Downtown Disney Entrance Now Open to Guests at the Disneyland Resort. The Walt Disney Imagineering Instagram shared today that the brand new entrance into Downtown Disney has now opened up. Featuring a wonderful mid-century design, this new entrance leads into the expansion area of Downtown Disney, which will soon include Din Tai Fung Parkside Market. Wow. Oh, okay. Those are different things. I thought, wow, that's
you're merging them.
A unique name. Din Tai Fung, Parkside Market, Earl of Sandwich, and more.
Yay.
So if yeah.
So well, they have yeah, it's a new entrance. It's got they got restrooms over there. They've got, you know,
more restrooms.
So the construction for that particular stuff is done, so that's good.
So you is know. That entrance about where the theater used to be?
I know? Think it's over in that general spot. Okay. You know,
I'll have to see
how this place looks when everything is said and done. And of course, even when everything's said and done, it won't be the end of it because it's always that's the nature of the venue. It's always going to be changing.
Yeah, that's true. Know. Yeah. There'll be people protesting. Bring back the theaters.
bring back AMC.
And then Ken will be out there with Compass Books.
I want Compass Books. Yeah.
A book. What's a book? And then.
Well, it's like Cleaning the Kingdom's a book, anyway. No.
It is. Okay. Well, that sounds good. My concern is because the entrance, so I've heard that they didn't get rid of yet the old security entrance or entrance to Downtown Disney because that was closer to the Sorcerer's Mickey, the little hat there by the hotel, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so that I hope they don't get rid of that because that would be much more convenient for people staying at Disneyland Hotel to use that one. Rather than going, because then you'll have, if it's where I think it is, you'll have to take that little walkway that runs in front of the hotel and then backtrack to get in line for security. I don't know. I just hope they don't. Because, you know, I've stayed at Disneyland Hotel a couple times now in the past little bit, and it would be nice. And plus, you know, you're paying a premium to stay at a Disney hotel. Mm-hmm. And I think you should have a special entrance for hotel guests. So I hope they do that. We'll find out. But it looks good. The pictures I've seen, it looks really nice and clean. And we'll see what happens. All right, moving on.
Yes. Well, our long national nightmare is over. Disneyland pauses Magic Key sales again on all annual passes. This is from Brady McDonald at the Register, of course. New sales of all Magic Key pass types were paused on Wednesday, June 5th, as the Disneyland Resort manages the program according to Disneyland officials. They're always managing the program, but Inspire, Believe, and Enchant Keys are now only available for renewal. Imagine Key sales were halted in March. So existing Magic Key annual passes can be renewed during the month before expiration. The most recent sale of Magic Keys began in early March. The least expensive Imagine Keys, limited to only Southern California residents, sold out in less than 9 hours.
Wow.
So, if you were waiting to buy it, now you can't. You got to wait again. You got to strike while the iron's hot, apparently.
So, what if there's a number they have, and once they hit that number, then they stop sales, and then when people don't renew their passes, then they lower that, and they go, okay, we got to get the numbers back up, and then they, you know what I mean?
They probably have a roulette wheel somewhere in some back room where they just say, let's spin it and see which date we're gonna pull the plug on the sales, you know?
Yeah. They never did this back when they had the annual passes, you know? No. Yeah.
No, well, they didn't have nearly as many pass holders.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, that's the whole, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why they changed the name so that they could say, oh, it's not the same thing as an annual pass. You know,
yeah.
It's just a pass that lasts a year, but it's not an annual pass. Anyway. Yeah. So micechat.com. Dusty Sage updated their thing, the everything you need to know about Disneyland Magic Keys. So if you want to go there, you can. People don't always have access to the register. You know, sometimes you have a limited number of stories you can read there, whatever. So, you know, but even if you don't have a magic key, again, you can book with Lynn. So, Disneyland update. MiceChat.com had updates as they usually do. There was one from Natalie Kipper on May 27th called Beautiful Fantasies and Overwhelming Nightmares. Ooh, it says right here, it says, it feels like this Disneyland update has been a long time coming. Not only is the beloved nighttime spectacular Fantasmic back at Disneyland, but the Pixar Place Hotel's Creators Club has opened, and Baymax has returned to his place in San Francisco Square. Plus, the Disneyland Resort continues to evolve with a new droid conducting the fireworks in Galaxy's Edge, and construction progressing at Downtown Disney's West End and inside the parks. So, again, those updates are, you know, always loaded with pictures. If you don't have the fastest connection, it can take a while to load. there's the update from Mike Kendrick on June 3rd. Too late to undo New Gates debut summertime snafu. And it says here that the summer season has arrived at the Disneyland Resort, and there's much... there's plenty of news to cover. We've got a full ride through of Tiana's Bayou Adventure, a special summer ticket deal with a surprising twist, a new entrance to Downtown Disney, and some disappointment brewing around Fantasmic. And that's just the start. Club Pixar goes bust, a crowd nightmare is in the works, and loads of construction progress. We'll share all the latest updates and opinions, and we can't wait to hear what you think. So let's dive in. I think I know what he's... I think I know he's referring to when the crowd nightmare in the works. That's going to be part of your what you have to tell us about refurbs, probably.
All right. Well, we'll get right into it then.
Yeah.
So a lot of the usuals, nothing new. Haunted Mansion, of course, is down right now. No return date. A lot of people are speculating it'll be back when Halloween starts. So next week? No, just kidding. It will be probably, I'm thinking, end of August, somewhere in there. Maybe. Some people have seen some of the construction updates, and there's still dirt. So some people are a little concerned. Mr. Lincoln, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln is down. No return date. See, I thought, you know, when I was giving these updates, I thought it's going to return on like July 4th, right? You know, it's big, like,
yeah,
you know, no. So not July 4th. I don't know when. No one knows. Winnie the Pooh. No return date, but I think all of Critter Country will probably reopen when Tiana's Bayou reopens, you know, when that opens. That I think everything will just, that's when Critter will probably reopen with Winnie the Pooh and all that again.
And well, they are doing a lot of work down there.
You know? Yeah, there is. I've seen photos. They've torn up the concrete down there in many areas, so. Maybe they're using this as a good time to like do plumbing and things in the area they've been wanting to do. So down there. And then the last thing is Redwood Creek Challenge Trail. No return dates. We don't have any return dates on any of these.
Everything's closed indefinitely.
Closed indefinitely. That's right. That's all I have.
Well, so a big deal, I guess, that if they close off the canoe, they close off, you know, Hungry Bear and the canoes and that entrance to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, now you've got people having to, the only way they can get in is over there behind Thunder Mountain.
Right. I'm wondering if they'll have like just a small walkway, you know, to the right, just to get there.
I don't know. I mean, you kind of wonder because, like, without restrooms and without a restaurant, and
that's true. And mansions down, so you don't really no reason to go anywhere even past the Haunted Mansion at this point. That's true.
So what you would, I mean, you go over there and basically Pelican Landing or whatever, the Harbor Galley restaurant, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be the last thing over there if it's even open.
They'd probably keep that open, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, not the greatest timing with everything, mansion being down and all that over there. Which is incredible because, you know, when we work there, we always say this, but I could have never imagined them doing a bunch of refurbs like this during the summer. Now, obviously, yeah. When it's something long term, I mean, there was a summer when Space Mountain was closed, obviously, because they were redoing. But to like Haunted Mansion, that's just very surprising. You think that would be something they'd close? Well, it did close in January, right? Into January, something like that, yeah. On a mansion.
Yep.
But this is much bigger project, so it's not going to make it open by summer. We're already there, kind of there in summer almost. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, not meteorologically, but socially, it's going to, you know, we're there.
Right, right. All right, well, thank you for all those updates.
Thank you for the refurb information. And, you know, we do these current events episodes every 2 weeks to keep you up to date on what's happening at the resort. And the other weeks, our episodes are main topic episodes, which, as the name implies, they focus on a certain topic about the Disneyland Resort, usually, whether it's an attraction or a land or a show or something, or we interview somebody who had some, you know, was a cast member or an Imagineer or had some connection to it. So we try to just cover everything, the past, present, and future of the Disneyland Resort. Hope you're enjoying these, and we want you to spread the word, let people know how to find the podcast. Tell them it's pretty easy, you know, just search for the Sweep Spot Podcast where they prefer to listen. They can even have their smart speaker play it for them. Yeah. It makes great background noise. You just keep it on all the time.
Yeah,
just tell it to play, you know. I don't want to actually say it. I could get all your smart speakers going right now, but I won't. I'm going to be nice. And in case you're playing this out loud, but what else, Lynn? What's going on?
We're going to be at D23 Ultimate Fan Event in August. Yeah, you can always book your vacations with me. We have a lot of great ticket deals right now for Disneyland and hotel deals. Walt Disney World's having some promotions right now. I think there's a lot. Alani just dropped some things, so yeah, definitely contact me if you're looking to. And just, you know, as we always say, Disney pays us, not you, so no reason why you shouldn't give me a call, give me an email, give me a message.
No obligation.
No obligation.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you so much. You know, leave a review. We always appreciate that. And we'll talk with you next time.